Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Something's wrong with Poodle, y'all. She needs to get she needs to get dick down, or she needs Alexa Pro, or you need to be Alexa Ho.
No, something. It's my eyes that are itching like crazy. And I feel like you've ever seen those animals that like raccoons, and they just like claw at their eyes? Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like I've been doing the last couple of days. I have vampire red around my eyes if you're watching Intimate Portrait. This is a special Intimate Portrait we're doing today.
It is. It's on. Y'all, we're doing video. It's a little holiday bonus. But I said something's wrong with
Poodle. I'm kind of sick of these bonuses. We give them away too much.
Yeah, since no one could hear you on the last watch along, it's because you turned off your mic. Why don't you just give them this?
I did it because I absentmindedly I need a fidget spinner so bad when I'm doing those things. I have to do something, and I flick the mic on and off.
I bought you a fidget. You lost it, didn't you?
It's not good enough. I need something that gives me that I need. Yeah. That I can
you
do.
You need to go to a fidget spinner store so you can just try them all out.
Yeah, I need to do something. I need to do something with my hands at all times.
HSP store. They should have those. I mean that legitimately.
But I was literally just flicking my mic on and off. We need to put electrical tape on it. As long as you stop turning them off. You turn them off again. Turn them off again.
Honey,
I promise you.
Honey. It was turned on the last time, and you actually turned it off. I can't control you turning off the microphone, bitch.
I'm saying when you gave them to me.
With them on, and you turned it off.
No. You're not understanding what I'm saying. When you gave them to me to take to the recording session that I did, there mm-hmm. were some that are off.
I'm asking you to do your taxes when all you have to do is just go flick.
I'm saying we both could take precautions.
As my therapist says, I'm putting down non-porous boundaries, firm boundaries. That's not my responsibility.
Non-porous boundaries?
Boundaries can be like Swiss cheese for people. Shit seeps in. No more Swiss cheese boundaries for me. It's concrete, bitch. Now
we'll see what happens when someone wants to bang you. See where those boundaries go.
That's real. I keep saying I'm going to go to Austria and find my Captain Von Top. If I send you a gift of Maria spinning on the hill, that means it's happened.
Those boys.
The seal is broken.
Those boys are so squirrely. you're going to have a hard time with those.
I'm not going with that. I'm going to look at museums and walk around a beautiful Christmas market. So I'll probably end up knitting with old ladies.
Gustav Klimt. Klimt. In Vienna.
Yeah, that's probably what's
going on. I got Klimt. He made me scream. That's Monk. I'm sorry.
Sure. So the reason why I said something's wrong with Poodle, y'all.
I got monked.
We started this and Poodle said, I don't think this was a very good tell-all. And I said, are you fucking kidding? He said, well, the Shekinah and Sarper part. And I said, no, we had Angela pleading to her daughter-in-law to take personal responsibility and go to therapy. We had Johan just being eviscerated and Danielle sup. We had Andre being upset that a woman told him to sit down and being on and just Andreing all over that set. Oh.
The word of the tell-all was toxic, by the way.
The word of the tell-all was I come at us, sissies. What do you thought? I didn't even mind the Matt Sharp Avengers. I enjoyed them.
You know what it was? I feel like they exhausted us. That's to me. Oh, I just felt maybe I just watched
by the
this
end of that tell all.
I was so tired.
And so much happened.
I was so tired from the season. This has been a really, even though it's been an hour, this has been a really long season.
It has been a long season. Enjoyable, but yes. Yo, this is Reality Gaze. This is a special Reality Gaze again because we're doing a little intimate portrait bonus. And this is the end of Toe season.
I just spilled water everywhere.
Oh God.
Season five. I don't know what episode it is.
It's episode 24, Tell All Part 3. Let's just jump into it. I don't think we have, this is our last 90-day show before the break.
Is it?
We're doing our Bicurious after this, and then we're doing our holiday live show, which y'all have already watched. So, Poodle, is there anything? We haven't actually done it
yet. I'm not sorry for anything.
I am.
My
body
is a thing of beauty, and I will not make excuses for it.
I apologize to everyone for what you saw. That's all I'm going to say.
You know?
Oh God, I'm worried because these allergies have made you kind of like a pissed off cat.
I know.
So I don't know what you're going to do.
I'm feeling very bitey.
I'm going to have to just bring pizza or something to calm
you. Like Devin, Devin and her mother, by the way, of Devin and Nick from 90 Day. We commented on our meme.
They did.
They seem like funny and good people, and they seem like they can take a joke.
Yeah, I think the mom said like my fingers, because I think I said like, oh, she bit my finger, and the mom
bit my
said
finger,
my,
yeah,
the finger, and then Devin said like she said something
I was feeling
like,
very body.
Yeah, I was feeling very body.
Mama, I was feeling body, mama.
I'm really bummed that they're done and we're not going to see them anymore.
Yeah, I think.
Right when you discovered that character.
I think she was just fun because she's just a surly girl. Like she didn't want to be there. She didn't want to really be there. She says that she's very different now because she was probably thoroughly medicated with alcohol and she was just in a bad mood. She was kind of like the at 8 a.m. the girls who would wear hoodies to exams because they'd been out so late. Or the ball cap girls, or they come in their pajamas.
That's a lot of sissies that you just described.
It would be like,
Devin would be a sissy.
She would be an 8 a.m. class, and you can tell they just screamed a lot and given a lot of blowjobs the night before, and they were just ready.
Poodle, how often did you wear a hoodie to an 8 a.m. class? Is this a little autobiographical?
Frequently, but I'm saying. There was no middle ground with a lot of these girls. There was like perfectly done up face and outfit and hoodie or hat. Hoodie, hat, no makeup, nothing. Or you looked good. But 8 a.m. class, I don't know how anyone looks decent for an 8 a.m. class. I don't think that's something that people in their college years shouldn't look okay for. but it happens.
I remember, and I remember at North Texas, we were, and I don't mean this as a name droppy. I just mean it like there would be the
too
people
late.
At 8 a.m. that would be like, they would get there earlier and be like playing the piano and fidgeting and like, you know what I mean? Like being artistic in the morning while we're all just sitting there trying to wake up for Dr. Cho to come and talk about music theory. And I never got, and one of the people that did that the most when I was in college was Nora fucking Jones. She would play that piano at like 7:30 in the morning, like playing all this jazz shit. And we're like, we get it. You're jazzy. And then
you're Ravi Shankar's daughter.
We get it. And then she dropped out of school and we were like, she'll go nowhere. And we were wrong. We were wrong.
She did go. She went to UNT for like a hot minute.
She used to kick my seat all the time and fidget her fucking foot. I hated sitting in front of her.
Well, look where you are and look where she is.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the point of that story
was. I haven't won a Grammy. I haven't even won a hammy, but now I won ham.
The hammy awards for eating the most ham possible.
I am getting very excited. My brother's going to smoke a Christmas ham, and I'm very excited for it. Because what? You don't act like it. I have seen you freak out over ham and biscuits at Christmas.
No,
don't even try. Don't even be sanctimonious.
Your fat girl inside is just crying out when it is December 18th and you can't wait. You're already thinking about Christmas dinner.
Bertha, my inner fat girl, her name's Bertha, and Bertha's ready. I'm gonna have Christmas ham. I'm gonna have some divinity.
You're triggering people's food issues.
I don't care. I'm talking about my show. I'm talking about what I want. I'm gonna have fudge, Aunt Peggy's fudge. She makes it in the microwave and it's the best fudge you've ever had.
I have a problem with fudge. Don't yell at me. But I feel it gets too sweet for me. Like, it's just too sweet. I can barely eat it.
I kind of like that I only have, like, one little piece of it, and that's all I need. That's what I like about it.
No, I can't finish a piece is what I'm saying. It's too sweet.
What is your family?
This is a riveting discussion.
Well, fine. I was going to ask, what's your family? Who gives a shit?
We do, like, my grandmother used to do, like, Mexican Christmas cookies. They were never called that, but I found out that's what they were called.
Oh.
Kind of with the powdered sugar and things like that. But I don't know where they got that recipe because no one in my family is from Mexico.
No one.
Definitely not. But we don't have a lot of like set traditions. Everything was kind of like you bring what you want to. My grandmother would always make a fruit cake and no one ate it.
No one ate it. Sometimes Peggy, one year I made it, but sometimes Peggy's would make a birthday cake for Jesus. I told you that, though. The red velvet with the blood.
Yeah, that's so fucking evangelical to me. It's not even... Yeah. We've talked about it. Some sissy says, yeah, we sung happy birthday to Jesus sometimes, and we thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
Jesus is... even though all the songs are about him, y'all, it's for most of America, it's like a passing afterthought.
Even Jesus is like, I get it. Stop singing.
Someone sent me a meme of a card that says it was a picture of a manger and it says, spoiler alert, he dies.
Wow.
I'm gonna get an nasty DM.
Oh, you're gonna get a DM for that.
But you should get a DM.
So grateful he died.
Someone commented below it, but there's a sequel.
Wow. Well, there is.
And
there
that's
is. Something to be happy for. Anyway.
Anyway, right. If you have an uber religious person in your life, tell them that one.
Give them the gift of reality gaze. You can go to Supercast.
Some religious people like gay people.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, quite a bit. Some don't admit it, but still really like gay people.
And having sex with gay people.
Yes.
excuse me.
All right. So, yes, give the gift of reality, guys, y'all. You can get that on Supercast. That not on Patreon, but on Supercast. Some of you have asked. I know Y'all, I know that y'all want us to do cameo. Our cameos are still paused. So I don't think they're going to unpause anytime soon, y'all. So I think that was a brief period where it lasted, and I don't know if it shall come again. So
it was the golden age of cameo.
Yeah.
When I would have to bring my wigs and take home, and my father went, "Fran, what are you doing in there?" "Dad, I'm just making videos for people I don't know, and they're paying me money."
"Okay. Turn off the light when you're done."
It's a weird time.
It's a weird time.
That was when I would do like lots of different characters.
You were very committed to it.
I'm so tired though.
Especially Peloton Peg. That one wore you out.
Peloton Peg, Pig. And people kept getting her name confused with Pig, P-I-G. The Australian Peloton instructor. Yeah. And she'd get worn out about halfway through.
It was harder
to talk in Peloton than she thought.
Anyway, so we're not doing that. Y'all, but what we are doing is our crappins with Watch What Crappins with Ben and Ronnie, our gay crappins holiday spectacular. You can listen to that. That's going to be dropping next week, I believe. So I think while we're off.
Sometime around the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th.
Yes. Also,
there's four parts.
Smothered is still going strong. We will be putting an episode of Smothered out this week. So you're still going to have that. And real quick, we talked about this before, but just reminding you.
Yep. Oh, go ahead. I would say we're off. So the Smothered that happens, I think December 27th, we're going to cover when we get back. We're not doing that.
The Smothered and then the Lalu.
Same thing with Lalu.
We'll cover. Also, y'all, we know that Chance is cheating on Tater. Thank you for the sex video. We received it.
Whoa.
It's a big dick.
You can't really see the dick, but it's big.
You can see the length. It's length.
Yeah.
Here. Very quickly, we aren't covering these, but we're just letting you know as a courtesy because TLC gives us, or we appreciate they give us screeners. Sunday, December 24th at 8 p.m. will be the holiday theme pillow talk. So you can look at that where they're talking about just all the holidays of the year. Monday, Christmas Day, the 25th at 8 p.m. will be Pillow Talks 2023 top 20 of everything.
Should have been top 23. I say it again.
I disagree. But it's going to have, they're going to have top moments from the 2023 universe, including The Last Resort and The Family Chantel. And lastly, on New Year's Eve at 8 p.m., Countdown to 90 Day, The Single Life, where their pillow talkers are going to be talking about the new season of 90 Day, The Single Life, with sneak peeks of what's going to be coming in 2024. And then The Single Life will premiere on January 1st at 8 p.m.
We will be back for that.
We will. I would do that from fucking Austria. I'm so excited for The Single Life. To see, I better see that crib again in Natalie. That's all I want.
When do you come back from Austria?
New Year's Eve. I land like at 6 p.m.
Oh my God. Your jet lag is going to be awful. It's worse.
I'll have that. And then my neighbor's having a New Year's Eve party in our building. So it'll be good. It'll make me come home and I have to stay up.
Are you going to be able to sleep?
I don't know.
Wait.
You know what? That's why
your whole building is doing a New Year's Eve party?
Well, everyone that's here. Everybody that's here. So that way we don't have to go out and like worry about craziness.
What a nightmare to have friends in your building.
Oh, no. It's great. We just like drink, get high, and then we'll go on the roof and watch the fireworks. It's perfect. What are you going to get? What are you going to have? Just a cavalcade of anonymous men to come and make your own fireworks in your bedroom on New Year's Eve?
Should old acquaintance be forgot? Yeah.
So hopefully all my flight stuff doesn't get fucked up. I am flying back on the last day of Mercury retrograde.
This doesn't feel good for me. Before? No, you did this before and your flight got fucked up and you barely got back.
Well, we'll see.
I guess I'll have to scramble to find a co-host.
You will not cover Single Life without me. What you going to do about it? You might be on a plane.
I don't care. I will do it on the plane. I'll get internet connection.
I don't think that's possible.
I will figure it out.
Well, I'm just going to start calling it, welcome to the Poodcast.
The Poodcast. That sounds old.
Why?
The Poodcast. I don't know. It makes me feel like sounds immature.
No, I branded my name along with podcast.
The Poodcast. I don't know. It feels like, I don't know. We need to move on.
We need to start this fucking show. It's 20 minutes.
I'm going to go check on Holly, everybody.
He really is the emotional support cast member.
Oh, cast member. Yeah, I was going to say.
He really should wear a service dog vest.
Yeah, it's true. He is. Y'all, Holly's ran off. So Kenny goes to check on her. Got a runner.
Thank you. You smell really good.
That was my favorite outtake.
Yeah. Oh my God, you smell really good. I never smelled anyone like this in the Nevers of Neverland.
I gotta say, there's something. I'm not done seeing Holly. There's something that's interesting about watching her to me.
I need her to go away into some type of in treatment or out treatment plan. I think she needs some time to focus on herself with a team of people who can listen to her and give her coping skills, which she doesn't have.
I think that's going to make her less good TV, though.
Yeah, but I actually feel when I watch her that she's this close from self-harm. Like,
oh, I don't feel that.
Oh, I do. It's not easy for me to watch. And every time she's talking to Wayne and they're talking, she's like, yeah, I'm going to feel better. She calls him just a second. Yeah, I need to be less sensitive and more hard like you are. And he's like, I need to be more, I need to be more available to you and blah, blah, blah. And y'all, this is going nowhere. She's going to go back to South Africa, which is the worst thing for her and her mental health.
It's the worst thing for her, and it's not going to work out, y'all, because I think he just felt pressure on the show.
He did.
This guy, Shekinah called it. This guy does not have the capacity to support her, and he knows it.
She needs a team.
And he doesn't know what to do. It's too much for him, and they're both in over their head.
I got to say this. I think he's a pretty textbook kind of man who pushes all his emotions down and will say, you know, whatever he needs to just barely communicate with the person he's with. Good provider, blah, blah, blah. I think he's just that. Someone like that cannot handle the onslaught of emotions that comes from Holly.
No, I
don't think most people can. It's too much.
Yeah, I think it's too much for a lot of people. Kenny called it when Kenny said, I think he's weaker than he plays. He can't do it. And Tim, I agree with Tim the Avengers stepping in. Tim saying, I think Wayne is not a bad guy. I just don't think they're compatible. He's not emotionally available for her. And I went, ding, ding, ding.
She needs a caretaker. She needs someone who will literally, if she needs it, help her put on her shoes in the morning because she can't get out of bed.
She needs kind of a broken, lonely gay man to be her friend. That's what she needs. Wait, that's what she needs. You know where Holly would do really well? Palm Springs.
Oh, you're right.
She'd find someone who just like was living alone.
Or Dollywood. She could just, or like, Pigeon Forge, some old gay man who loved collectibles.
Yes. And really in a place where they're not accepted in society. Yeah, not Palm Springs. Definitely Pigeon Forge or Branson.
Yeah.
Or just.
She could just live with that old gay man whose name is like Winston or something. Uh-huh. And he's wearing little sweater vests every day. And he would literally take care of her because he's got nothing but taking care of his mother as well.
mother, or his, maybe his mother died and now he can't take care of his mother. So all he does is just like make little dolls or something like that all day.
Winston, if you're out there, we've got a job for you.
We got a job for you and her name's Holly.
I don't see, unless you find a way to, basically she needs tactics in coping and self-regulation and a way to deal with her emotions and her fears. And she needs to be taught that emotions are real, but they're not truth.
I think all of that comes after she gets sober.
that is the thing that's been soft pedaled the whole thing. Oh, I think it's that. I don't think it's that. I think it's to me it feels like depressants.
You know a lot more about drugs than I do, so you've done a lot more.
It feels like some type of painkillers, to be honest, which is never good. But other than that, we go to a break. We wish her the best.
Yeah.
Mary smells Brandan's armpit, and we're back.
And we're back.
Shekinah and Sarper, do you feel like the one reason I'm kind of gripey about this tell-all is we went back to some couples again and again and again, and it didn't seem to be to work out things. It just seemed to be for sensationalism for topics.
I do agree. I can see that. I loved it, but I see that.
But I guess I'm thinking about, but the tell-all used to be the intention of the tell-all. TLC's and production's intention for the tell-all, the outward intention, is to learn more about these things and get some things settled. None of that really happened. I think that's my disagreement with you.
I think you're still hanging on
too sensational.
I think you're hanging on to, I just think you haven't let it die. But with me, that hope of a tell-all died with that happily ever after tell-all. Once that happened, I went, all bets are off. We're in a new arena now. The Forum has been torn down, and now we're in SoFi. Get the fuck used to it.
I understand what you're saying, but the intention of the show and the way it's framed is still the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that's the disconnect for me.
I encourage, like, once you kind of let that go, I think you enjoy it more, because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the sensationalism. It was because
I don't know.
I mean, what was different about this is a lot of people in the cast did not kind of give their opinions of Shekinah. Shekinah was giving her opinions of everyone in part one and two.
No, they did.
But they did much more this episode.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like,
this is where I really don't think we needed the four horsemen of the dumbpocalypse. And it's adding in one more. They don't trust their casting. They don't trust the people to be forthcoming and so that's why it feels like things are like fakely generated.
That's the
other issue. And so I don't know. I thought parts one and two were better than part three. I know we disagree with this, but.
I loved it. And again, I'm going to say the Avengers are here to stay. Like they're going to be, I guarantee you they're going to. So like, I'm just telling you to try to, since this is something we're going to have to keep watching repeatedly, just, I don't know what's something else in your life where you just roll over and accept it. Just accept it. It's going to be easier for you.
The guy who says he's coming in 30 minutes and it's another 2 hours.
You're still going to accept that.
The dick is big.
You're still going to accept that.
Yeah, but I'm up.
Even if you're asleep, you're going to wake up.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I think you know what it is.
Because I agree with you. I agree with everything you're saying. I just let it go. But I totally agree with you.
I don't know if that's how I want to talk about these shows. Because it takes... TLC is taking a very sanctimonious tone with this. And I'm going to push back on that. If you're going to make it a fucking circus and a sideshow, fine. But don't act like we're really getting stuff settled today. Don't even.
Ugh.
That's my issue, because it feels counterintuitive. I don't know. My Libra side of that
it sparks like the thing of why I love Smothered and Cringe. I love it. I'm here for it.
I want to say, who do you think could, I think they chose four better horsemen. I'd be fine with it. I'm not a fan of hers, and mostly because the hashtag 3 under 3 bothers the fuck out of me. But I think if you brought Lauren back, I don't know if she'd work with them anymore. She's a little more balanced. I think Kalani is the last motherfucking person to be talking to me about normalcy in relationships and how men treat women. So she was so above it all and so smug.
I didn't get that from Kalani at all. I thought because of what happened with her on Last Resort and watching all that, that's really about her kind of finally having this emotional breakthrough of, I don't want this in my life anymore, and this relationship is terrible for me.
But she just moved on to another man.
Like when she was, but when she was talking to Shekinah about that, I thought she had total ground to stand on. And then we had a tears of Kalani moment even because she got so emotional about it. I liked having her. I liked having Tim. I don't think we needed Andre.
I don't want Tania. I do not want Tim. He has the worst takes when he's not personally invested and his misogyny really comes out. And I did not like him on this at all. And I normally have a good time with him.
Oh,
and
I did.
I thought his takes were awful. The whole time.
I thought like sometimes he just called it dead on.
No, but he was so misogyny. The misogyny was showing with Kirsten, and he's been cheated on before. And every time it was against a woman, he would go for him. Yeah, I don't think he did a good showing. Andre was a bad choice because he really didn't say a lot.
He made it about himself.
Yeah, and Tania, I'm not going to lie. She's the only one who I'd like to see back.
See, I can't totally disagree. I thought she added the least to it. Could not disagree with you more on all of these. That's funny.
I think Andre was terrible. And I agree on that. I think there are so many other cast members who could have done better. Get me Robert and Annie up there. Like, just show us the circus, or David and Annie. Give us that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought these, I don't know. It's this format's not for me. I don't love, I think it turns it into a circus while it's still trying to do some good for these people. And I don't think it did any good.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreau!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/realitygaze.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volbella XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Let's talk about Shekinah and Sarper. They bring in Dan, who, y'all, this guy just wants to be another influencer. It's really sad.
This was totally ridiculous. Like, Shekinah was like, she's like her ex, and Shekinah even said, he's not my ex. We didn't date, y'all. It was,
well,
it's totally stupid.
The problem is, it's the call is coming from inside the house, because the show is trying to bring him on. Even Shekinah's like, why are you saying he's my ex? And they remembered because she needed someone to be a romantic foil.
Yes. Her family also refused to come in, so they had no one to.
Remember, he was in the couple episodes. And
Yes.
So it was obvious the show needed to create a story. She really wasn't okay with it. So
he wouldn't have been on if her sister came on the tell all.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So this guy is such a loser.
I mean, even Sarper's not even real. Like, he kind of acts, but even Sarper's not even taking the bait on this. He's kind of like, this seems ridiculous. And Dan, you know, is trying to say, I like you as you are. You're beautiful. And Sarper should see that. Sarper says, I see everything.
The thing about it is with this, this is the other thing that no one is saying. And it, for me, if they would just say that they're in like a submissive dom relationship where it's a kink kind of thing for them, and that's the rules they're living their relationship by, they're doing everything but saying it, it would eliminate this type of, he's controlling you, you're being abused. And because it's consensual.
Holly kind of alludes to that. Alludes to that when she says something to that.
And I feel like the show is ginning that up just to make, just to create controversy, and that's not healthy. So that was another issue I had. No one speaks to that, because it's not as fun, frankly. But we're dealing with people's lives. Mm-hmm. Gross.
Dan says basically, he's like, he's like, it's like you're treating her like she's your Barbie and you just want to make her another doll. Like,
yes, that is exactly right.
Yes, Sarper loved it when he called her Barbie.
She is my Barbie.
Yes, and he
and
is.
And I am her Ken. I'm her Ken.
That's like the biggest compliment for him, I'm sure.
It is.
And
she loves to serve, y'all. She loves to serve.
I mean, Kalani even asked, like, how would you feel if your daughter was in this? And she kind of is like, I think this would be a great relationship for her.
Yeah.
And
Kalani doesn't get it at all.
Well, no, I disagree. I think that's a great question of Kalani to ask her, because when Shekinah said, I think this is a totally healthy relationship, I was kind of like, what else do we need to know, people? That's kind of where she is. Whatever she is with this, she's brainwashed in it and she is in it.
You used the term brainwashed. That's a negative term.
But it is. But I mean that she is, that is a negative term, but it's like if she is... I don't think this is a good relationship for her. 100%. I think Sarper is controlling whether they're dom sub, whatever. And I only say that because it's a little bit different of the Shekinah we saw in the tell-all. She was totally barely said anything negative about Sarper, didn't complain about him at all. She was really like, we're great, we're great, we're great.
Yeah.
That's not the Shekinah we saw in the season. The season she talked, because they drew out more of their lives.
Right.
And she did throw hints of like, well, he keeps commenting about this and it's okay. And she acted like, so is it just now? And I think something you're missing is that, or that you feel like was missed. is this an evolution that she was uncomfortable with it, of being controlled and things, and now she is? Because it's not really clear. Is she just propping him up to look good on the tell-all, or did she have a change of heart
exactly
about this?
It's not clear. I'm taking them at their word, because this is a specific way that people do live. And people do have, they say, have successful relationships. So I'm not here to judge that. I think that's where I am. And it kind of made me annoyed that everybody on the stage needed to say something about it.
Well, I think it's worth it to, like, when Kalani brings up, I think that's valid to say, like, based upon your past and who her father and the type of life
she
lived.
Well, we don't know that. They have not said that.
They didn't say it on the show, but it's been all over, and Kalani brought that up.
Not everyone reads all the gossip stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I see your point, but at the same time, it feels like, and this is a bridge too far, I know, but it almost feels like Kalani said, well, what if your daughter wanted to be a lesbian, if you're a lesbian? I'm saying it's that kind of thing. That's their life. That's their lifestyle that they live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it feels like to me. That's kind of where, I don't think it's something, because it take a long time to explain the dynamics of their relationship, that I think it's easy to judge.
Yeah. All right. We need to move on. This is going to be a 3-hour show. That's good. That's because it's a good tell all. You're welcome.
And I think that's not really the same thing, but the problem I have with it is they're bringing up a subject and not explaining it at all.
Yeah.
And then they're just letting people take shots at them. I actually felt bad for both Shekinah and Sarper, because they tried to explain, this is the best relationship I have. Mm. And everyone's like, no, not according to the way I live, not according to the way my relationship works.
I don't feel bad for them, because I think that was dead on when, I don't remember who said, when Danielle actually said, it was dead on when she said Shekinah was making judgments about everybody's life, but didn't have any self-reflection
that,
on the show.
That was dead on. I totally agree with you.
I don't feel sorry for her, because she was the most judgy person and trying to be the most TV was Shekinah.
I totally agree with you there.
She loved the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She loved it. She wants everybody to be talking about her.
So y'all, we're bringing up the 2,500 women claim.
525,600 women.
And the clips they show, he's like, I am giving up bad boy lifestyle. That was his Instagram handle for a while. Bad boy, Sarper.
Yeah, yes.
And people are like, how does 2,500 even happen?
And I love when Julio's like, I did the math.
He should never talk again.
But Sean, even think about this. A producer of 90 Day Fiancé from Sharp Productions, a producer went to a PA and said, hey, I need you to calculate Sarper's age and figure out how many people he had to fuck on a daily basis to have 2,500 women. And someone actually did that.
And then go to Blue Bottle and get us some coffee.
Yeah, please. Because Sean Robinson said, we figured it out. It means that you've been with a woman every 3 days since you were 18 years old.
I'm not proud of it.
Well, and Kenny said, yeah, you are, which is true. He is proud of it.
And this is when, and the Shekinah, this is the interesting part. Shekinah says, do you want to know my number? He's like, no, I don't want to know anything about it. Because y'all, the way he thinks is she has to be like the pure princess, which I say, that's fucked up. That's purity culture. And that's fucked up. But then she brings up the bottle collection. And was it ever clear that he has a memory of every female or was that something that she decided?
It's something that she said. He didn't validate that or not.
Okay.
He just kept saying, but he actually was kind of evasive about it and never really answered the question. Yeah. So I kind of believe her, honestly. But why would she...
If that was true, and we heard him say that on camera, why wasn't it on? What is it, a broadcast? Because it brought it up in the tell-all.
he never, no, when she brought it up in the show, he's never answered that question. He always.
Oh, I see.
That's on him. It's not a tell-all failure. He's not going to answer the question. But it makes sense, especially now that we know that he is OCD about counting. Like, he has that.
Okay, y'all, they listen to the podcast because I swear to God, like, that was just something we came up with, was him being a count. Like, that wasn't a thing he did. And he magically, I think I manifested this.
You are a witch lately.
He says, I'm a counting freak. I count everything. Six love losers on stage. Four know-it-all assholes.
And so he
so
was.
So much so that what did he do from 1998 to 2002?
I recorded all of my bad body counts in a notebook and I wrote, oh my fucking God. And he goes, it was old.
And y'all.
And he kept this book.
Opens the book and you think it's gross. Going to be names, but it's no. Basically like how many days until Christmas?
It's
you're crossing
X's.
Off X's.
At least you get candy with an advent calendar. This is just an X.
I think, I'm not saying that he did this, but Tinfoil Hattie thinks this could have been done in a night.
No, I think this is real. This guy, as soon as he said the OCD thing, I went, oh, he 100% is OCD. 100%.
And that way he has to categorize and do numbers. And he
can't throw away the book, because if he throws away the bottles, then it's, well, it's his manhood, but then it's like, it's not, because not only is he OCD, he's also probably a narcissist.
Undoubtedly.
And narcissists keep trophies and proof. They want to show the world, I did all. Kenny is right. He is so proud that he slept with 2,500 people.
So later on, Shekinah says, it's just so disgusting. This is so gross. And
colors were in the book, Poodle. They were different colors of the exits.
Because those are from how hot the women were.
Because he would sleep apparently with anyone.
We're never going to get another person like Sharper again. We just need to take what we can get in this time.
He's pretty gross and wonderful.
She's basically says, Shekinah's like, I won't see you again until you get rid of it. And then there's this break, and Brandan says, just to be clear, there's some things you should never, ever talk about. And never, ever bring out and show. They talk about one more thing about the child issue, and she's like, I'm not changing my mind about it. And then she's like, then she's like, or we adopt goats. Because she loves goats, because of course she does.
Goat yoga. Why not?
And then she kind of says, we're just living one day at a time. And I think, let me just clarify. This relationship is a dumpster fire. But I think the biggest problem I have is everyone using their relationship. It felt weird to me as a queer person, I think. And even though everyone on stage, and I'm not defending it, but it felt weird to me saying, your relationship that I live, that's weird, and that's disrespectful. That's controlling. But they were measuring it by their rubric.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it felt weird to me. And
I totally disagree, but I understand why you feel that way.
Why do you disagree, though?
I don't feel like, I feel like that feels too binary. I feel like people were using their own experience of relationships to see like this. I think the dom sub thing is one thing, but on a deeper level, like this is very clearly a fucked up, not great, it feels, at least a lot of it looks like on the outside, when you look at the season, it doesn't look like a healthy relationship. It doesn't look like this is a relationship of mutual respect. And it right. feels, because they're both, they, it's also too, it, they both, I'm not saying they are, they, maybe they are, but they both present as being so shallow. I think people too are bothered by, it feels like a shallow transactional relationship and not like this deep love. And that I think is something that people are hung up about, that all relationships need to be this Disney magical deep love. And yeah. I don't know if this relationship is that.
I felt like everyone was trying, but everyone was trying to use their own experience, because there's a narrative we need to tell, and it doesn't, the 90 Day Fiancé world does not involve space for like open relationships. They just don't. It doesn't involve space for any type of thing that's outside the lines of heterosexuality, or two committed people of the same sex together. They just mm-hmm. don't. And so that's why I feel, and anything that is outside that rubric, no one gets, and it's open season on that.
Okay. I still disagree with you, but I understand your point.
You can disagree.
I don't know what to say. I don't want to keep like arguing with you.
No. But I'm saying we can have a discussion about it. And yeah. you can, when I say something, you can come back and say, oh, I see what you're saying, but I don't get that because.
Yeah, I've already done that. You know why. So
right.
I'm more interested in, I want to talk about just kind of this. Like if this was an opera, this would have been Angela's moment, like where she pleads, I don't know, you would know an opera, where she pleads at the end of the opera to someone, don't kill my daughter, let my daughter live. It's like this, it was like this plea to Mary of please, please go to therapy. And it was riveting to me.
Yeah. I thought so. I don't think this woman is that involved in her kid's life. And she'll send money occasionally, mm-hmm. but I think she's involved when it's convenient for her. And I don't know. I saw her as trying to get her redemption at it from the beginning. And I don't know. I
think she wants redeemed just in life too.
Exactly.
So that's I mean, because she feels so bad about what she did.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, y'all, the birth of the baby, this is Brandan and Mary, we're finally on to. Finally, because it's been three, I'm so shocked we did not get, because I think this couple has been front and center, the one everyone's talked about most. And yeah. they got the least amount of time, basically.
Mm-hmm. They actually.
Why do you think that is?
I wonder if they got it because they're not going to be on the show anymore because they went on Instagram Live and were telling spoilers.
That's a possibility.
And all that. So that kind of is my first inclination. They bit the hand that was feeding them. I think that's probably my because they didn't talk about like the wedding with all the bugs. Like a lot of stuff in their relationship was skipped over
by that rubric because they did so much with Shekinah and Sarper.
Are they on the show on the next The Other Way?
100%.
I think so too.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Y'all, so y'all, they're going to be like Tim. They're going to be like Jenny and Smith. They're going to be on like 3 seasons of The Other Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she looks like, they say the baby looks like Midnight, by the way, is the baby's name. Mm-hmm. Like a kitten you found in a storm drain.
It's true.
Brandan is still playing video games, but it's less.
It's less. And they bring up this thing.
I was so confused about what happened here. I still don't think I understand the situation and what actually happened.
I think what we didn't really see it. In this
again,
season,
it happened and we didn't see it.
Well, maybe we didn't see it because Brandon didn't want to show his temper on television. But apparently Brandon has a really bad temper. So
apparently,
much,
but it's something we never saw.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He probably didn't show it on camera because he's at least a little aware. If I had a temper, I wouldn't show that on camera. I wouldn't show as a man yelling at a woman.
I wouldn't either, but I have a problem with this being fair game. Because it's talked about, and even the mom just goes, the mom does not confirm he has a temper.
Well, yeah, she said he does say that he calls her a scammer
and a bitch.
Or a bitch. And
so when does that become, because Mary is the only one who says he's yelling.
And so much so that she doesn't want to interrupt him with game stuff because he says he'll scream at her.
But I just want to ask, is it possible in a world that Mary thinks people are yelling at her when they just say things she doesn't like?
I think that's fair too. I think that's fair. The only thing I wouldn't say that it is that Brandon agrees with her though and confirms it and says, I do yell at her. I call her these things. And then he even goes down and says, I yell at her because I want her to argue with me and I want her to stand up for herself. And I'm like, holy
This is where I went,
That's crazy.
Don't understand what's going on.
And that's none actually of this, gross.
And none of this was filmed. So I can't actually take the temperature of it. To see
and
if
that
you
could
both-
be another reason why they let go of this character, because maybe they did this character and they realized with both of them. I mean, like Angela said, they both, maybe even Matt Sharp was like, we need to be hands off with these people because this is too much trauma.
I feel
and
like
we need to let them go.
One of the things I was thinking about, they think her mental health is fragile, kind of like Chris's, that they told Chris to go easy on Chris.
And I wonder if they are like, that's another reason where they're like, let's do it the least and just get them off the show.
I think that's a good theory. Because y'all, this couple is all anyone wanted to talk about. And
I guarantee you they probably did film some of Brandon going crazy and they didn't show it.
Why? Why do you think
probably
they
because
wouldn't?
It would probably be too triggering to people or too real.
We have seen all kinds of stuff with Angela, Andre. I disagree. I'm less quick to put him in that crazy camp.
Angela's different, though. That's not a comparable. She's a woman yelling at a man. People don't get as triggered as that. And Andre and Libby, that was pretty gross to watch.
Maybe, I think they would have shown it. I think they would have shown it.
Maybe.
But
they... So
when do you think that TLC decides we need to be careful about what we show the people?
That's true. I'm just speculating why there was so little of them.
And especially if they're not going to be on the show anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they wouldn't give
a
shit.
Let it burn?
Yeah.
And see, this is something where I thought Kalani, when Kalani said calling someone that for that reaction, like that's pretty textbook narcissism. And I was like, I thought that was a great comment. It is. It's so self-involved, and it made me see Brandon in a different light. Because I think we felt sorry for him a lot this edit, and I actually didn't feel sorry for him at all after this tell-all. But
I get that. I just
he says, I feel bad. And I went, do you? Because you don't really act like it.
I just didn't feel like we had – they're so happy now, supposedly – I didn't feel like we got an accurate representation of what happened. Mm-hmm. Because remember, everything was shitty, and then it was their wedding, And it wasn't a question whether Mary was going to marry him after that. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think things are extremely bleak, and I feel snowed by the coverage of this couple. And I don't like
they're,
it.
They're going to have a really sad life. Sadly. Brandon said he hasn't asked his mom, though, for money in 3 weeks. So and so that's a good thing, only 3 weeks. So I'm sure that will take.
Angela does say, they basically say, Angela comes out and then she says, when Mary had money, she was great. And but when she didn't have money, she was pretty. We did kind of gloss over how and they'd show a clip of it later, but how horrible Mary was to Angela and the sister, the Brandon's sister. She's blocked by Mary.
Blocked. Well, and the sister doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And, you know, Angela brought up kind of what you were saying earlier. Angela brought up a great point that their communication is so terrible that she thinks she's so, and I use this word because it truly is, she is so damaged with her own trauma that she'll think Brandon is totally mad at her.
Exactly.
When he's not at all.
That's so, kind of what I was thinking.
I do think he yells at her because he admitted to it. But I also think that, like you said, she just flies off the handle for no reason. And Brandon's like, what are you talking about? I just went outside to like listen to music. And I think what she gets upset about, she wants him to stop playing a video game. And she wants him to kind of attune and check in with her. And instead, he like disassociates, stops playing the video games, then goes outside and still, it's about she still feels ignored. That's what she's really angry about with him.
Right. Well, what he's doing is he's angry, so he goes outside, and she can't tolerate someone leaving her alone because she thinks that he's leaving for good.
And
and he doesn't want to scream and yell at her or do something worse, which is all bad.
She was trying to, that's where she kind of said, look, you both need individual therapy. It's not an attack. You're so afraid of being wrong. And Mary says, I'm scared that I will get judged or people think that I'm crazy. And she talks about the culture there. And
I like it when Tim says, there's therapy online.
He does say that. He's like,
they definitely have internet there, y'all.
They got internet. But like, you know, Kalani like brought up, she's like, in Samoa, there's one therapist on the whole. It's not a thing you do. It's just, and so they're in TJ actually, which I don't know if he's the best. He's like, I understand this. And I thought, TJ, you're married to Kimberly. Just sit down. Cause you're
right.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is an interesting thing. Tim brings up, he's like, whose idea was it to have a baby? No one on the stage wants to ask this, but it's really, and it's like, was having a baby to make sure he didn't leave her.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And this idea of
that's why she wanted to have a baby quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
And y'all, maybe it was unplanned. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. This their storyline is impossibly bleak for me. I can't even comprehend it.
It just
is so, so dismal. They talk about trust issues there at the very end when she would unplug the router to go out to see Charlotte, Miranda, and Samantha, her guy friends, her obviously gay friends.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
It's at least two of them.
And but Brandan says it's gotten better. And then y'all, and this is what I think production was worried about. Mary seeing all this and she goes, oh, I hate myself. I'm too much. I'm blah, blah, blah. And y'all, this is when I'm like, oh, fuck. We talk about it must be tough living with Holly. Imagine what it's like living with Mary.
No, that's where I wonder a little bit with production, if they're like, because they've been burned with like, y'all, because this has the potential to be Paul and Carini 2.0.
It does. Every time I think of Paul and Carini.
And that's why I wonder if production's like, let's just, especially now that they spoiled
everything, let's let it go. Everyone.
Yes. Let's let them go. We wish them the best.
And Mary says, I'm scared he'll leave. I love him so much. That's why she won't ask him to help with the baby. And then they're basically, so why don't you visit? And she says, my grandmother is sick. Let me throw something out as well. Do you think Mary is so possessive that she doesn't want him to visit America?
Oh, 100%. She doesn't want to be around by the way. She can control him much. I will say, I agree with Tim when he said she's one of... I didn't like that he said female, but I wish you would have said she's one of the most... Yeah. But she's one of the most controlling people we have ever seen on this show.
100%. 100%. She terrifies me. Because what feels like to me, and this is really dark, y'all, but I feel like she'd like, killed the baby to get even with him. It's one of those kind of things. It's a Dateline episode waiting to happen. Trigger warning, death of a baby.
Too late. You can't, again, Poodle, you have
I
to
need to get better at those.
Before in the beginning, not after. It's like after a guy fucks you, you say, trigger warning, I have gonorrhea. You need to tell these things before. Trigger warning, I've got herpes. Let them know before.
Trigger warning, I came.
When they're already choking.
Yeah. Trigger warning, I came 5 minutes ago, but I just wanted you to keep doing it.
There's a little bit more where they talk about, it's all fair game. She puts all this stuff on social media of her dancing and twerking and showing her ass. And they're like, they wanted to call her out as being a hypocrite because y'all, guess what? Brandon doesn't even have social media anymore. Did you think she lets him have that? No fucking way.
Because he talked to girls.
It is pretty great when Andre's like, you are a control freak. This is a toxic relationship. And even Sarpa says, look who's talking, bitch. Look who's talking to. And then that brings in a whole, then, again, if you say who won this tell-all, it's Shekinah and Sarper because they both kept the dialogue, the narrative coming back to themselves. So I know you said that production did, and I think that's partly, but I also want to say, if you look back, they both kept inserting themselves into conversations to talk about themselves. And they did a great job with this because now it went from Brandon and Mary to talking about them, and they're all fine. And like Danielle saying, well, Shekinah, you just think you're perfect. And Shekinah says something like, that's the most real thing you said, Danielle. And
she's so awful.
It's so awful. And Armando, I love it when Armando's like, everyone that's talking right now is in a toxic relationship. Like, including Andre, Shekinah, Sarper, Danielle. Like, Armando just calls it out. And Danielle even says, of course I'm in a toxic relationship. We all are in a toxic relationship. God,
I hate that she made me understand her. And I hate that I know what she's doing. And
we're going to get to that.
And I hate that she made herself a martyr.
We're going to get to that. Hold on. It's still percolating. I'm not ready to take that dump yet. We got to get there.
During the break, Andre goes over and looms large over Shekinah.
Yeah.
And
I bet
there's a toxic.
I bet Libby read him out for this.
Probably. I think so. I think Libby and Andre at this point in their relationship are fine. I think after she grabbed that phone or he grabbed that phone, we saw a different Andre. And I always say that night, have y'all ever seen, we covered in our classless this season, when he grabbed her phone out of her hands and the look in her eyes when it happened, it's almost like metaphorically he hit her. And that was the moment. I guarantee you that after that, she said, there are cameras here and we are filming this show. And if you ever do anything like that to me, we'll fucking deport you.
I bet she did.
I hold the power here. I'm in charge now, bitch. It was August Ochoa.
Who's the boss now?
Eat the fish, Andre.
It is interesting. It makes sense why he got triggered, because I will say probably the relationship on 90 Day that it's the most similar to Shekinah and Sarper probably would be Andre and Libby, because you could argue that they are in a dom sub relationship as well.
Yeah.
I don't think they are. I don't think they would ever say that.
I think now it's, I think it started out that way, that because of his overbearing behavior. I think he's a pussycat compared to how he used to be.
Compared to how he used to be. Everybody says he's one of the nicest, like, people.
That's
in
what they say.
Day.
Yeah.
And Veronica says that. And you know Veronica, she'll read a person out.
So Sarper says, "Hey, Andre, let's meet in person."
In other words, I would like to try to beat your ass.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I gotta say this, during the break, did you see Tania put on an eating smock? Over her dress? I need this.
I was going to say, you need that.
Well, have I seen?
I do too, honestly.
Do they have eating smocks?
They do, Poodle. Yes. You've never been on production where you have to eat in costume.
But Tania's the only one. Tania was the only one using one.
Maybe she's – but yeah, I've been on a set before where I had a costume and they gave that to me.
Well, you would just change it to your costume.
Sometimes, depending on, like, they won't have you change or whatever.
Right.
And so when I did that, if it was a special, that Saving Mr. Banks, and I was an extra, and I had to wear that suit and everything, they had me put on a smock to eat.
I just think we should all have eating smocks.
I'm not against it.
I can't wear white things for that reason.
Well, just tuck in
a
napkin.
I will not wear a white sweater.
I won't either. Tuck a napkin in your neck.
It won't do it. It won't do it. I'll get it on my sleeve. I need a fucking smock.
I agree.
I'm a spiller. It's bad.
I don't like it when you say that.
I get food everywhere. Let's move on.
Are you still talking about eating or another act?
Danielle and Johan. One of the hardest things getting past was this woman whose name was Memory.
Her name was Memory.
Who? Where'd they find Buckwheat, Alabama? Jesus. He slipped into my DMs. We introduce a woman named Memory.
I'm going to say this. I would be a miserable bitch too if someone gaslit me and treated me like this constantly.
Yeah.
I'm not using that as an excuse for it.
I gotta
say
this.
She did do some shitty things for him, but it made me feel like, and I felt gross a little bit about myself, because we call women crazy when we feel like they're acting crazy when you don't realize she's with someone who's a horrible monster.
I was thinking this. I said, even karma would go, "Oh, that's way harsh." She's been a monster.
I'm not apologizing to Danielle. We are not apologizing.
We don't apologize on this podcast.
Well, we apologize to Tania.
That's true.
We did do that.
Tania. It doesn't feel right.
But we did apologize. We liked her a lot more. I still think Danielle did misrepresent herself.
Yeah.
I think, again, he thought he was on 90 Day Fiancé. She thought they were on the other way.
I think she is a pretty terribly manipulative person. I agree with him saying that. Although,
I think
he's an actual ghoul. Y'all.
But the things like, oof. With her like emasculating him and all that and calling him her wife, I went, oh, I totally probably would have reacted that way when this guy is fucking women the entire time, and she feels it and she knows it, but she has no proof for it. So she felt crazy about it. And that is horrible to do to someone.
I wonder what the response is going to be after this for her.
Because no one likes her. But I wonder...
she's going to be back.
But I wonder... No, I'm wondering just the general tenor of fans. I wonder what people are going to do.
I kind of want her to be back. I kind of want to see her have some happiness because somebody who goes through that,
I don't wish her happiness. Let's pump the brakes here.
You
know what I do? I wish her the best.
You know what I wish? I wish that the thing that I think that Danielle's going to, I hope not do, but she probably will. I think she's going to look at this and she needs to take responsibility for her actions and role in this and for what she kind of did to get in this. I don't know if she's going to do that.
She doesn't have that in her. Here's the thing. She's a born scammer. She's a born con. She's going to use this next gig. She's going to use her next job, her next con, to sell her retreat and to get her next story so she can dine out on it. Mm-hmm. And she can be the next guru. Everything that she's collecting, all these stories and things that have men who've done me wrong are making the next story and creating the next person who she will be. Mm-hmm. We're going to witness Danielle 3.0 or 4.0 or 5.0, and she will continue to do this. She'll continue to do terrible things and then get treated very terribly. Like she's been doing here.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same cycle. So we're just going to wait around for the next cycle, the next con, the next grift.
It's going to be, it was pretty gross to see that when we went in on Danielle for forcing this interaction with her ex, with Johan, knowing now that she knows that he was so upset about that, yet he's fucking all these other women and talking to all these women while he's in a relationship. Like, this guy is, like you said, it's just an actual monster. And when they have, when Memory, again, spelled M-E-M-O-R-I, Memory, when Memory
showed
up.
Almost as bad as the spelling on Twin Love of the names. Holy God.
Those are terrible.
We're going to talk about that soon.
Those were terrible. They were terrible.
Zoe. Z-O-I-E.
It was terrible spelling.
Bailey. B-A-E-L-E-E.
Brittany and Whitney.
No. That's not their names. Whitney and Whitney.
I kind of could watch the rest of that show.
I watched episode 2, and I'm going to...
I did too. I watched like the first 10 minutes of it.
Can we have a conversation of the girl, I can't remember her name, Gabby, and talking to Samer, where he's talking about Syria and how then the war, and she's like, oh, that must have been rough.
Oh, I stopped by that part.
Oh, God. Anyway. Y'all, the people on Twin Love may have the most inane conversation I've ever heard on a reality show.
Some of the they're so stupid. They're all entrepreneurs and they're just dumb.
Oh, the word entrepreneur makes me want to crawl inside myself.
They use that word. I use that word. Yeah. Anyway.
So
they are. So Memory is literally pulling the receipts. She has it on her phone.
Calling someone Memory. I'm sorry.
Johan is completely saying nope. Not true. Don't speak without proof. And Danielle's like, these girls are sending me emails and they're giving me the details. And she's like, I know they had a physical relationship. And he's like, nope, I spoke to some. You're ungrateful. You can go to hell, lady, with all of your lies. Go to hell. You're a manipulator. Even Armando tries to tell him in Spanish, like, you're acting like a victim. Right. Like, just own it. Be up. Admit it. And you've got no other option. And he says, I was too good for you. And that's why. And I should have cheated on you.
I should have cheated on you.
I should have done this.
I should have cheated. Now, when Tim says, who's been a pretty terrible misogynist the whole thing, Danielle, I'm sorry for all the shit I said about you. You know that everyone on the stage is like, holy God. Now, y'all.
When Sarper even says, when Johan says you're a manipulator with your crocodile tears, and even Sarper goes, oh my God. Like everyone, everyone was completely freaked out.
Y'all, we witnessed one of the most glorious immolations of any relationship we've ever seen. Almost as the only one that isn't better than this is Danielle and Muhammad. Probably this. And we never really liked this version of Danielle. Mm-hmm. The other version of Danielle and Muhammad, we could kind of feel sorry for. But there's something about Danielle, New York Danielle, having all the receipts and having a fucking file folder ready to go. And they were fucking itemized and labeled and highlighted. Y'all, she did her work. And
now, we called her crazy last episode.
Deserves respect.
Yes, we thought that was nuts that she was doing that last episode.
Because you miserable bitch, I respect you. That I will always say.
We didn't know what was happening. But yep. Now that we know what's happening, she fucking played this like a mar. And I'm proud for her.
At one point, y'all... And we did think it was crazy that she friended everyone who was on his
list. And now I'm like, mad respect to get this asshole. Mad respect.
And basically, Johan says, then he fucked one of the women at my retreat. And I went, what? And so obviously this woman finally came to Danielle and said, he said, no, I did not. I respected all the women at the retreat. And she says, this woman contacted me later and said, this is what happened to me. He constantly contacted me. I said no. But I needed to tell you later on, we did see each other. We did have sex or something like that.
Even Wayne is like, this guy, he said, this guy's a piece of shit. Kalani, you know, because Danielle's big thing is she's always friends with her exes. So when Kalani asked her, can you please not be his friend?
That was one of the funniest moments.
And Danielle was like, yeah, okay.
Y'all, supposedly, though, they were back together.
She says they're filing for divorce in this tell-all because Sean asked her and she said yes.
But as of 2 weeks ago, they were back together. Now, the thing about Danielle is, y'all, she's extremely cagey on social media because she's, I gotta say, she is savvy like a motherfucker. And
she's very intelligent.
The fuck out of her.
But she reminds me a little bit of, not that she's was as, but the same way like Jibri or Miona of Gibberish, she acted so kind of pious and like everything happened to her on a tell-all, but on our social media she was brutal to people.
Yeah, she was.
And Danielle is much more, she shows much more of a darker side of herself on social media.
She does. So y'all, she says she's gonna file for divorce. The wrap up, by the way, everyone on the whole stage thinks Danielle or Johan was cheating.
everyone races. Even Sean Robinson like took both. No, I'm joking.
Turns up that Mary says she's going to therapy. We'll see.
She won't. 100% she will not.
She kind of leaves. She doesn't even want to talk to a single person.
She walks by Kimberly and Kimberly makes this just really mature face. God, Kimberly is fucking 7 years old. She goes, nah, 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 nah.
I hope we never see her again. I think she might have looked the worst out of even.
I agree.
But I think Kim might have come out. If Johan's would have been there.
He's an outlier, yeah.
Yeah. But I still think Kim ruined anything she had for herself.
Yep.
Because you don't call Jenny the C word.
No.
You don't do that to another woman on television unless you're
especially a woman who's half chicken.
Not fair. Not fair, Smith. Just try to be a lovely one. Love it, yes, man. Love it.
Ah! Holly is talking to I think it's Danielle. And she says it and she's like and Tali's like, I really admire you because you're really blah 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 and Danielle's like, it felt nice to have the entire room agree with me. Because y'all, that's all she wants. Because it feels like, then she feels like a cult leader. She could be the next Mother God.
She could.
I honestly think Danielle has that potential.
Potential. She's very savvy. So
they just, and when she died, they'd play with her corpse like a bunch of kitties.
They would.
Like now,
yes. Wow. Spoiler alert.
I swear to God, if y'all haven't seen that now, make it your Christmas viewing. It is definitely necessary.
I don't like that stuff.
You need to know what's going on. Mm-mm. Sorry, it's required things to live in our world. You need to watch Mother God.
I'm not saying anything to that.
Anyway, she's ready to move on in her life.
Holly Wayne, she's like, I got to be in a good place before I go there. So we'll see. It sounded like she was backtracking to me a little bit. Julio, who cares? He's gone.
Another person I don't want to ever fucking see again.
No, I don't want to see him. Kenny's like, they're going to be amazing. They're good. And Kimberly just doubles down and says, when Jenny made threats, I'm not scared. And I went, you're actually going to fight a 68-year-old woman?
Is she 68?
I don't know how old Jenny is.
No, she's maybe 60-something. She's not 68.
She is 64.
Okay.
So still, you're in your 20s and you're talking about what a badass bitch you are fighting with a 64-year-old woman.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah. She's gross.
And basically, she says about TJ, right now I'm not going back to India. TJ means the world to me, but I don't know if TJ's in my plans. What a selfish way.
Oh, God. Blech. I don't ever want to see her again.
That's the tell-all.
That's the show, everybody. That's it. We're done. Put a fork in us.
Hold up. Hold up.
What?
1 second. I have something prepared.
We didn't discuss this.
Oh, yeah. I put in a track. Do you see where it is? Just a little.
Yes.
I want to say a little goodbye to someone we met this season. Hopefully we'll see them again.
It better not be that fucking gecko.
Hey, boy. The story just got sadder. Even the gecko peaced out. I had to leave when he started yelling at her and the baby was born.
He was like, I'm leaving.
Gavin, I'm gone. Gay gecko. No, it's a certain farewell. And I'll let you just play the track. And hold on, let me get a wig on.
What? What? Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. All right.
Play the track.
Okay, well, all right.
Doesn't seem to matter what I say. My words get in the way. No one knows the man inside. Oh, why the people say I look like plastic guy. Look, I'm made by AI. Shekinah, you're the woman I adore. Is the word bitch or slut or whore? Is that right? Because I'm just a star. Anywhere else, I'd be a star. 2,500 girls will say that I'm the best at shoving shish kebab.
You're the best.
I'm just a star on TLC. I could go far. What would it take for them to see the man behind the tan and fall for me?
You're perfect.
Shekinah, you are my multiply orgasmic bitch.
I love you too, babe. Hashtag couple goes. Hashtag power couple.
Hashtag bad boy.
for life.
You know, I don't really like surprises like that, but that was good.
Good times.
Also, you look ridiculous in that wig. Y'all, just call us. We'll see you next season.
Call us.
Call us. Multiply orgasmic bitch.
Yeah.